Welcome to the Behind the Region podcast from the South Bend Regional Chamber. On this episode, we talk to the mayor of South Bend, Mayor James Mueller. We discuss the current state of the city, some of the big projects planned for the city and the importance of them, what are the challenges facing the city, and what does the future of the city look like? Now here are your hosts, Chamber President and CEO Jeff Ray, and the Director of Member Relations, Mark McGill.
And welcome to the Behind the Region podcast. It is being powered by Tech Tyler PC, offering cost-effective IT solutions to fit any budget. Jeff Ray, hello.
Morning, Mark. Another chance to sit down and do our podcast. We appreciate so many people listening. We've had some great guests. We're trying to tell just great stories about what's going on here in the region with great business and community leaders. So we encourage folks to subscribe, download these, share with their friends, Those kind of things. And so we're glad that people join us. And we're trying to bring great guests with really timely and relevant programming. We think we have one of those guests with us today. We have invited South Bend Mayor James Mueller to join us. Morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Jeff, Mark.
It's good to see you. Thank you for your time today.
Absolutely.
We're thrilled to have you. You're obviously no stranger to our listeners out there, but we think this is a great chance to get to know not only you better, but just kind of some of the things that are important that are going on in the community and stuff. So just give us a little history, maybe pre-mayor. Tell us a little about James Mueller for somebody who doesn't know.
Well, it's funny. I did move away for 10 years, but I was born and raised in South Bend. So some folks are like, are you from here? I still get that even to this day. So I was born over and raised, born in Memorial Hospital and then grew up over by the Pottawatomie Zoo. Went to St. Anthony's on the east side of the city for grade school, and then St. Joe High School, the old St. Joe High School across from the University of Notre Dame, and then went to Notre Dame for undergraduate. And then I realized there were some of my classmates from St. Joe that had gone to school along the same street from grade. They went to Christ the King. And so Christ the King, St. Joe, and Notre Dame stayed on the same street for all of their education. So I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, of course.
Do you know now?
I'm
still trying to figure it out.
Exactly.
Is why I asked,
so. I'm 41, so yeah. You can get away with that more when you're in your 20s, but right. At this point, you got to start really honing in here. But
right.
I switched majors a number of times, but ended up with math, history, and philosophy. And then didn't know when I was graduating what I was going to do. And so I had done an internship between junior and senior year of college to study ocean science. So ultimately I ended up going out I did this internship in Delaware. And so ended up going out there to get a master's degree in ocean science at Delaware and somehow ended up staying and getting a PhD in ocean science. So. That was not my lifelong passion, even though it was interesting for a while. And so when I was looking to graduate there, I applied to a fellowship to work in the United States Senate. And I ended up in Senator Maria Cantwell's office of Washington State to work on energy and climate issues. Then briefly moved over to, after I left the Senate, went to George Washington University and did solar energy policy. There for a little over a year, and then I think people know the rest of the story. I think people know. Then my high school friend, you may have heard of him, Mayor Pete, called me and said, I'm losing my chief of staff. Yeah. Would you consider coming and being my chief of staff? So then, moved home. Obviously, never thought I'd be involved in city government or city politics. But when you look at growing up, the national seemed to be the place to be. But being there during my time in the Senate, things move very slowly at the federal level. And so it was very exciting to come back here and be able to see the pace. And you can really see tangible progress here working at the city level.
Right. So let's dive a little bit into the mayor position. I think people generally know that it's important for some reason, but they're not sure why. So let's talk a little bit about why. So a little bit about, sort of the leadership of the team, obviously that delivers great services, but also, setting strategy and direction. So give us some insight in terms of the role itself.
Sure. For a lot of your listeners, it first and foremost is a business entity. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of lines of service. I think that's probably something that would be different than Most businesses have kind of their niche, and they just get really good at doing that and delivering that and figuring out how to maximize the returns there. Where here is, you know, we're providing public safety services, we're paving streets, we're delivering clean drinking water, we're doing economic development, it just runs the gamut of different areas. And so, you know, it's a 1,100 plus employee organization, close to a $400 million annual budget. And so, first and foremost, the mayor is the chief executive of this organization. But then, of course, this is public service and an elected office. And so there's even more input. Everyone has the right to share their voice and their concerns and their ideas for how we move forward. So this position is a lot more external facing than a lot of chief executive positions. And so a lot of the time is spent, one, listening and trying to figure out, where our community is, where we want to go, but also sharing, how do we get there and why this is important to get there. And, one that I think you're of interest to you and your listeners is tax abatements. It's something that oftentimes can, people can grandstand on. So we always have to be doing education about why this is important for us and why this is critical to our future.
Right.
Must be nice, though, Mr. Mayor. You have a lot of people helping you, like the public. I mean, everyone's got an idea of how you should do your job. And so it makes your job that much easier because, everybody's got an opinion on the job you're doing. So that's nice for you, right?
Yeah, everyone agrees. People are really good at figuring out,
absolutely.
I don't agree with you fully, but maybe this, they just kind of self-select in how
your job's easy. Come on.
To adapt their viewpoints to figure out how to move forward together. Yeah.
So, Mary, let's shift a little bit into, so what, maybe at a high level, some of the things that excite you most about what's going on in the city of South Bend these days?
Well, I mean, this is really the reason why I ran for mayor in the first place. I was involved in public service before, obviously working in Mayor Pete's and Senator Cantwell's office, but I never thought I'd run for elected office before more than a couple of weeks before actually doing so.
Yeah.
But the passion of why I decided to step up then and the reason why I'm running for re-election now is, I was being born and raised here. I'm really proud of where we are as a city, as a region. And I never thought when I moved away after graduating Notre Dame, I'd come back, visit my parents, visit friends, and seeing the progress 15 years ago, the Eddy Street Commons was, a game changer because, growing up, it didn't seem like that was something that was possible here. It seemed real. I mean, the idea that we would have that type of that investment and that development. So, but then the last decade, we saw even more happening in the kind of the rebuilding of our urban core, downtown and the East Bank. Obviously, there's a lot of unfinished work. And so, but then even 4 years ago, if you told me we'd have a pandemic, we'd have all these things, and yet we'd still be seeing, our investment accelerating, I would have said that's, I don't know how that's going to happen. So it's very exciting for me to see the progress and the accelerating progress here. And really, that's what's driving, that's a core. That's where I came from most, recently before I ran for mayor was on the economic development side. And so just the opportunities here that we haven't had in my lifetime that we are pursuing. And it's a regional thing, too. The battery plant out to the west of the city will have huge implications for South Bend. So I do tell people this is the best time in my lifetime to be mayor of South Bend.
Right, it sure is. And you mentioned the battery plant. I can't thank you enough for the great partnership there as well. That doesn't happen without South Bend being at that table as well. I think that illustrated by so many key partners, but you're a key utility customer and certainly a lot to work out as we're going through here, but we're grateful for you being an important partner in that as well. Let's talk about just some, maybe dive into some other projects. People are hear about them, they're curious about them, they want to know a little bit about them. So let's just talk downtown, for example.
Sure.
and maybe highlight a couple of the things that, there's whether it's what's happening at Beacon or at Four Winds Field or other places. Give us some highlights on what's happening in the downtown area.
Yeah, no, lots. Like I said, we're really excited that the urban core has been reestablished and emerging, but there are still a lot of lots that are left. And yeah. So if you look at it.
Can I interrupt real quick? Yeah, sure. Because I think this is, you mentioned this urban core thing. Critics sometimes say, I don't understand why everything happens to happen downtown and it doesn't happen out in other places. Maybe speak to the importance of the health of the urban core and why it's critical to the city, and then maybe dive into some projects there, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
sorry,
density. I don't know that there's a full answer. Economists haven't figured out fully, but they know that density does drive economic value. Mm-hmm. We do know it's more efficient for infrastructure. So if you're, building a street and you have a lot of people living on it, that's the same amount of street that could go either to a big tax base or a lower tax base. And so certainly from a tax base efficiency perspective on your infrastructure and other things, density is important. But the magic sauce of why cities are more economically productive, I know there are a lot of theories out there, but some say, well, you have more chance encounters, you have a more vibrant community. Who knows exactly why all the different factors of why that is, but it does the data does show urban dense areas are more productive economically, and so to drive our economy and also to make our infrastructure sustainable, we've got to have a strong urban core. And you see those cities that, like ours for many years, those that see those eroded, things get more difficult. Your budgets get more difficult. It's harder to keep up on your road system, your sewer and water system, and all the rest. And so this is, at some point, hopefully this continues to be more of a flywheel where, it's less and less heavy lifting from government, and then it just goes like you see in a lot of other cities.
Great. So a couple of things that I think that have us excited about downtown in particular. One, I might mention the housing piece. And so communities across the country are wrestling with this, trying to find the housing they need for I guess the slowdown that's happened over the last decade since the housing crisis. South Bend seems to be at the forefront of creating new housing opportunities for people of all income levels. Talk a little bit about that initiative and why it's so important.
Sure. I mean, we've called it the all of the above housing policy. So, we want affordable housing. We also want market rate housing, and we want workforce housing and everything in between. Also, we want different housing types. Some people are going to live in apartments. Some people are going to live in single family houses, and some are going to live duplexes, quadplexes. And so there's a big piece there is if you look at how neighborhoods evolved historically, you had this kind of mix of housing types in your neighborhoods. And that's something that, for whatever reason, which is also part of the policies that were made in the 20th century that helped drive people out of the cities. One of them was zoning, and zoning made it very difficult to build these types of housing units. So we have reformed the zoning code to allow those to. So, I mean, the crazy thing is you look at a strong historic neighborhood in our city, and you under the previous zoning code that we had adopted at some point, we wouldn't be able to build that today. Mm. So you see this strong neighborhood, and yet for whatever reason, we set rules that said we can never build a neighborhood like that again in South Bend. So that's obviously something that we think is important, make sure that the system is set up in a way that we can achieve that housing that we need for our residents. And the key is, as economic development is about people. Mm-hmm. Now it's about people, talent, and so we got to have folks to fill these jobs. So obviously we want to attract employers, but employers are going to go where the people are, and we have local employers here, as you probably hear. Mm-hmm. Too, I hear about it, you hear about it, is where can we get more people? We're ready to expand. How are we going to get the workforce to do so?
Right. So it's interesting, stay on the housing thought for a minute, because there's a fair amount of high density downtown kind of things. I think of some projects down by the ballpark. I think of up by St. Joe's High School, some of those, but it also spills into the neighborhoods. And so your predecessor obviously was working in neighborhoods as well, and on the front end of preparing some of this for the housing, and now you have this chance to get out into neighborhoods and make some neighborhood investments. So talk about just maybe some of the work you and the administration is doing to try to strengthen and what's happening in neighborhoods.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so just starting with housing, and you did mention my predecessor. And so, you know, I think the 1,000 House in 1,000 Days initiative, it had a mixed reaction throughout the community. I mean, there's the emotional piece of when you're tearing down, buildings that it feels like, you know, when you go into a neighborhood with a bulldozer, no one feels good about that, of course. But as you said, that is the initial investment to prepare the site. So in some ways, the previous administration made, it cost about 17, let's just say round number $20,000 to demo and get rid of the foundation. And so, but that's a $20,000 investment that has to happen before you can rebuild on that lot. So, instead of focusing on the fact that these buildings were torn down, we try to focus on, well, this, they made the initial investment to help now, but obviously it's a lot more exciting to be rebuilding on these lots rather than just taking vacant and abandoned housing down. So that's what, that's what we're seeing more and more of, more housing on these lots that had been part of that program. But also, there had been decades of that program. I mean, Mayor Pete took that to a new level, doing 1,000 in 1,000 days. But throughout the decades of decline, we had had to tear down houses over time. So there was more than just those from the previous administration. It was really basically since our peak occurred in Studebaker, our population peak, and people moved out, unfortunately, that decline that hit the neighborhood. So it's exciting now to be able to bring this new development, new housing, like I said, housing of all types, not just single-family homes, and rebuild our neighborhoods.
Great. I want to maybe stay on that thought for a second. Not as much housing, but maybe the investment in the neighborhood. So I think of, for example, on the west side with the plans for the Martin Luther King Center. We've heard pieces about it, but tell us a little bit more about what's planned for there, for example, as in terms of building this community gathering place.
Sure. Yeah. It's you look at when was the last time we built these types of community centers, and you have to go back a long ways. I think the Martin Luther King Center was originally built in the 60s, and so it was due for either renovate. Every time you have an asset like that, you have to think, is it worthwhile just renovating it? Do we need to rethink it? And then, of course, that's what we came up with on this project was demolish and replace. Try to save some characters of the inside for the nostalgia feel, but really it was something that needed to be rethought and reimagined, and so the prices have gone up over time. So now I think we're looking at a $21 million project, having two gyms. So of course basketball is an important piece, and volleyball and those sports, but it's also a gathering spot. So one reason why the community thought two gyms was important was even if you could still be having basketball going on, even if you had an event going on at the center at the same time. So there's that. There's still a lot of pieces that are coming together, but we're hoping to add financial empowerment, maybe some other some business development, just those resources and skills bringing to that Near West or Kennedy Park neighborhood. Having that as a hub, we think this is going to be an exciting center. Of course, anytime you put a $21 million building kind of in the middle of a neighborhood, it pops out. And so I think it'll be well visited, well appreciated. But we want to make sure that it's not called a recreation center for a reason. It's not just about recreation. It's a community center because we want to make sure there are other opportunities there as well.
Yeah, so Mayor, you touched earlier, we were talking about quality of place and how critical that is. This is feels like a really important quality of place investment. You've been making them around the city, whether it be Howard Park or other spots. Talk a little bit about just the city's priority and some of the things you're doing to invest in not only King Center and Howard Park, but just in neighborhoods in general to kind of give that quality of place element.
Sure. I mean, we, like we said, economic development, our future is dependent on people, and people want to be in places that are nice. And that's not a difficult thing to understand. And so we don't have mountains. We don't have the ocean, although Lake Michigan isn't too far away. So we have to really maximize all of the assets that we do have and make this as livable and enjoyable of a place as possible. And so these quality of place investments is a key part of our economic development strategy. It's also a key part of the state's economic development strategy. So they're ready, and the regional cities before that, this has been a focus of ours. And that's the reason, is because we know we need higher quality. We need to be able to attract the talent. We need to be able to retain talent and make sure we're growing, not stagnant.
Great. Let's shift a bit to the I don't know if the education space is the right one, but university partnerships. And I think of Notre Dame, for example, putting South Bend on radars that it wouldn't ordinarily be on, with it, you know, bringing students from all students and faculty and others from all over the world. Talk a little bit about just higher education, kind of its role in the community, and how the city benefits from that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why, I think folks are really looking at our region, is we have not just Notre Dame, we have a number of higher education institutions here, and that's the future of a knowledge-based economy. Having these higher education institutions is the key to the future, the future industry. So, I mean, our biggest challenge is making sure that we're able to retain. We have a lot of talent that comes in to our city, to our region, but then a lot of it then will go somewhere else once they graduate. So a critical factor is, how do we get more and more of this talent to stay here in South Bend, in the region, to help us grow? So, I mean, this is... we also know about how new companies start. A lot of it comes from research at research universities. So, in particular, Notre Dame is the biggest research university, and they've made a lot of investments over the last decade to expand their research footprint. And then not just expand their, the academic side of it, but make sure that there are efforts to commercialize this research. And so those efforts are critical to our future as being a growing economy here in the Midwest.
Great. Let's shift back downtown for a second. We were talking specific projects. One particular that's probably the biggest investment we've seen in downtown in decades is at the hospital, for example, and so we're kind of the medical mecca, the medical mile. They used to talk about it over there. Tell us a little bit about just that and why that's important to the community, not just at downtown, but the community as a whole.
Well, first and foremost, our hospital is another anchor institution like our university. So, they're a large employer, first and foremost, but they're also delivering, great services, keeping to service I went to last year for my heart, keeping us healthy and well. So, there's that critical piece. The core of this investment is, a new tower. I believe it's over $300 million now, with costs have gone up. But that also has the opportunity of bringing close to 600 new jobs here for hospital and medical services. So that's a key component. But, they're also looking to, do something similar to what Notre Dame did with Eddy Street Commons, is they know that, they're an institution here and they provide their services, but they also benefit with a stronger South Bend, a stronger community. And so partnering with the state, partnering with the city to really build out those parking lots just south of the hospital. So basically two full blocks from Marion to LaSalle, bookmarked by MLK and Main Street. So it's a major development. It's kind of, we've been calling it Beacon's Eddy Street Commons because it's that transformational of a project.
Great. Mayor, I want to shift. So it's summer, which means it's construction season. I think people wish the mayor could just click his fingers and make some of these projects happen fast. Obviously, you don't have that power. Speak, though, a little bit to that investment. Obviously, one of the core critical pieces of the responsibility of the city is to maintain the infrastructure that it has, to make improvements where necessary. Just maybe highlight a little bit on the infrastructure space.
Well, so, there's basic infrastructure where you're just repaving streets. So, we talked a little bit earlier about, if your tax base is fleeting over time, you fall behind on. If you have an infrastructure that's overbuilt for the tax base that you have, there's no way to catch up. So, obviously, that was where we had been trending during our decline. And now that we've turned the corner and are growing again, we're starting to be able to, turn the corner on this investment gap for infrastructure. So, that's key. Just maintaining infrastructure that we have. But then there's, you know, redoing infrastructure, reimagining infrastructure. So, you know, you think about the streetscaping projects that we've done in the last number of years. I mean, the key there is driving vibrancy, driving activity. And so that's something right now, if folks are worried about the LaSalle, that's what the LaSalle project is all about, is, you know, bringing parking, you know, so people can park and go to businesses that we hope will be along that corridor, but then also have it be walkable, bikeable, just for people that want to be there. So, you know, if you look at any vibrant place across the country, across the world, you see this type of thing where there's spaces where pedestrians and bikes can be, but also we do know cars have to be able to get to and from there as well. So that's if we're thinking about changing up infrastructure, that's the key there. There's also safety pieces to this as well. And then, you know, there's transportation. We've talked for a number of years about getting, faster train service to and from Chicago. I know that's something still on our minds. So, you know, there's all sorts of different options there. And so how do we increase the connectivity to other markets, whether it's Chicago or whether it's Elkhart? You know, I think we're working with Transpo as well. It's not like a pure infrastructure, but, you know, if you think of transportation assets as broader infrastructure, not just physical infrastructure, that's a key component as well.
Great. Mayor, as we get closer to the end of our time, so what else? Largely a business audience here. What else should the business community know about kind of the good work you and the team at the city is working on?
Well, like we said, we strive to be open for business and good for business. So that's something that we want to be partners. We know that if we're going to be successful, this is not something the government can do. And oftentimes, we've got to figure out how to make sure the government doesn't get in the way of progress. And so that's something that we're focused on. But we're very excited that we're seeing record investment here in the city of South Bend. I believe, we're on pace for maybe $500 million of investment. And that's big, really big for us. And it would be even bigger before you start talking about $3.5 billion investments to the west. But the difference there is, you know, those are a lot of acres that we just don't have here. So $500 million invested into the city of South Bend that already has a pretty strong built environment is huge. And as those things start to go, they feed on each other. If you get rid of, if you think of the Beacon project we just talked about, or the projects on the south part of downtown, the housing and those lots being filled with activity and life, they build on each other because, these people living here can go to the restaurant, a block or two away, and vice versa, the people living above that one can. So this is, it's an exciting time in South Bend, and do know we have challenges. We're not talking about all the challenges, but we work through the, I spend a lot of time I try to stay focused on these positive things that are, that drive you and really keep you motivated. But, to be honest, a lot of my time is spent on some of other things that aren't quite as fun to talk about.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're grateful for your leadership there. We know there's we feel good about the things that are happening in the community right now. We're excited about the story that we have to tell about people's confidence in the marketplace and the investments they're making. We're grateful for you and your team and the leadership you provide. And we know your schedule's busy, so thank you for being here with us today. Mark, I'll go to you.
Yeah, the Behind the Region podcast being powered by Tech Tyler PC. Today, cyber threats are rapidly expanding. Let Tech Tyler PC provide the tools and training your business needs so you can spend more time with your family and friends enjoying downtown South Bend rather than working and worrying about and struggling with your tech problems. From Office 365 email setup and management to complete IT, including 24/7 monitoring, management, antivirus, backups, and encryption, let Tech Tyler PC help. Call them today for a free consultation, 855-213-5016, or send them an email at sales@techtylerpc.com. Tech Tyler PC, managing all of your IT needs.
Mayor, it's been great to have you. Thanks, and we'll look forward to having you back.
Thank you. Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the Behind the Region podcast from the South Bend Regional Chamber, being powered by Tech Tyler PC, offering cost-effective IT solutions to fit any budget. For more information on the South Bend Regional Chamber or to become a chamber member, please visit our website at sbrchamber.com.